If you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of 1 John. Guys, I didn't get the scripture on the deal today, but if you'll put it up there, 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. I have three different passages I want to talk to you about. At youth camp this week, the pastor there is a pretty dynamic speaker, and he spoke about the passage before this, and he spoke about the passage after this, and he kind of skipped over this part, but as I was just reading it, the Lord began to speak to my heart, and he said, this is where you need to begin Sunday morning. So I want to begin with this passage. The title of this sermon today is you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I always thought that's a stupid saying, because if you eat it, you have it. But really what it means is you can't keep it like it is, right? How many of y'all, when you got married, they said you need to save the top part of your cake, and you wrap it in foil or whatever, and you put it in the freezer, and you're supposed to eat it on your first anniversary? Man, what a waste, because it was sure enough better on the wedding day than the anniversary. But here's the deal. You keep that, and you save it because it's pretty, and we want to keep that. And I think what God is telling me is you can't keep your cake all nice and pretty and eat it at the same time. You can't have both at the same time. This passage talks about you can't love God and love the world at the same time. Let's see what the Word of God says, beginning in verse 15. All right. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Lots of things in there. But here's the deal. Here's what God was telling me. He said, you can't be serious about the things of God at the same time desiring the pleasures of the world. It's like oil and water. It doesn't mix. You can't have both. The desires are going to come. I mean, how many of you want some things? I mean, there's some things right now that I want. There's some health things. Sometimes when we're unhealthy, we want good health. That's a desire that we have. And that's okay to want to be healthy. It's okay to want to have some things. But here's the deal. When we put that above and in front of God, God says, that's not healthy for you. Desires will come, but it's what we do with them that makes a difference. Things will come and we'll say, oh, I want that. I desire that. I want to do that. I want to see that. I want to enjoy that. What we do with those things, if it comes in front of God, we're supposed to deal with that. It's what we do with them that makes a difference. Do you want God's love? How many of you want God's love? 7, 8. Okay, there's more. We want God's love. If we want God's love, it says here, somewhere, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Above that, in front of that, it says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How many of you want the love of God? Okay. We need to quit loving the things of the world. Doesn't say quit. It doesn't say sell everything you have, go live in a cave, live under a rock, do whatever, wear camel's clothes or whatever. It doesn't say do all that. But it says quit holding all that stuff up above and beyond me, God says. It has no place in front of me. That's one of the first commandments. Shall have nothing in front of me. Don't do it. You can't have both. Remember we talked a while back about some things. We can't have both. But this, God says, you can't have both. You can't serve God and mammon, money, the pleasures of the world. You can't serve both. Either you'll love one and hate the other, but you can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. Ouch. Problem is, cake is good, isn't it? Tastes good. Tastes sweet. We like it. We enjoy it. We enjoy lots of things in this world. And God says, look, who do you love? Do you love me or you love that? Because that's taking my time. That's taking my energy that should be directed at me. That's taking the effort. That's taking the financial responsibilities you're sticking over there that really belong over here. So which one do you love? The proof's in the pudding, he says. How many of you ever heard that? The proof's in the pudding. That's an old one. That's back when they invented pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Take a look and see what you love, God says. Go back, look at your record, your bank account, look at your time, look at your calendar, go look at your day planner from last month. Tell me what you love. The proof is in the pudding. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to worship God? What does it really mean? What does worship really look like? In Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. How many of you have been to a wedding? How many of you have been to a wedding where the bride walked down the room and she had this long train behind her? My wife says, amen. It takes like 7 people to carry it. They're usually, because they're small, they're about this tall. And they're going, some of them are crying as they go down the aisle. But this long train, we see brides, this long dress just dragging behind them. Here it says, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 wings they covered their feet. And with the other 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, listen to this, folks, it gets good. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook. And the temple was filled with smoke. What was Isaiah's response to that? Woe is me, I cried, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty. Isaiah recognized who God was. Isaiah recognized who he was. And he recognized there was a vast difference between the two. He said, well, I am ruined. I can't even stand. I'm unclean. And yet I have seen the glory of God. Oh. Kids. He might have said, if he was alive today, he might have said, I am jacked up. I am messed up. I'm torn up. I can't even bear it. I can't stand it. It's too much for me to handle. You see, when we experience God, the true God, we have to worship. We have to do what Isaiah did. We have to fall down and say, woe is me. I am ruined. I'm devastated. We have to lower ourselves That's taking one of those desires of pride, right? We have to chunk that. Say, I am low compared to you, God. We have to lower ourselves. We have to honor God. God, I am low, but you are high and lifted up. We have to recognize our sin for what it is. It's sin. It's wrong. God hates it. He despises it. He can't look upon it. You know that why? That's why Jesus cried out when he cried on the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" He was quoting the Old Testament, but he meant this. God, you turned your back on me. You know why God turned his back on Jesus Christ on the cross? Because sin was put on him. My sin, your sin, the person next to you's sin, the person down in the street sin, the person under the bridge's sin. All those sins were put on him, and God could not bear to look at it. He despises it that much. We have to recognize our sin and our shame and our guilt. It says down further on down, one of the seraphs flew in verse 6. One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt," everybody say guilt, "is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." God says, because you have recognized who I am, you've recognized who you are, and you said to yourself, "I am ruined," because you recognize how devastating that is, because you have repented, I take away your guilt. I take away your sin. And when he does that, we have to be thankful. We have to be thankful to God for the gift of life in spite of our sins. And we have to respond. How does Isaiah respond? Let's keep reading. It gets good. If it wasn't good already, it gets even better. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" That was his response. That was his. Let's break it down. God showed up. God showed up. Isaiah went, "Oh, I'm devastated. I'm ruined. I am undone," he says. It's like he was all strapped up with laced up with a string, and somebody cut the string and it just all unraveled all over the place. And he said, "I am undone. I'm beside myself. I can't. I'm messed up." God showed up. Isaiah got messed up. He said, "Oh, I am this kind of person, and yet I have been allowed to see the glory of God." God, when Isaiah repented, God cleansed him. God cleansed him, and then God challenged him. "Who will go for me?" Isaiah responded, "Here am I. I'm here. Send me." You see, that's where God wants us. That's where God wants all of us. He wants us to say, "Oh God, you are more than I can imagine. You are high and lifted up. I know, I recognize that I'm low. I'm down here, and I've do things, and I've done things, and I know that I'm going to continue to do things. I don't want to, but my flesh is weak. But God, I love you." And we recognize that separation, that distance, that vast separation there is between God and us. We honor him. We lift him up high. We worship him. We repent. We say, "I am undone. I am guilty. I am sinful." God cleanses us and says, "Now, respond." How do we respond? How do we respond? Maybe it's a response that says, "Use me. I'm here. Might as well use me. I'll make myself available to you." Maybe it's we respond like, I accept your gift of salvation that is intended for all, but not all will see it. I want it. Maybe you put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you allow Him to just change your life. Every day, the pastor at the youth camp was just on, he was fired. Was he fired up? He was fired up. He was a black preacher, and he broke it down and got right on our level and just told it how it was, didn't mince words. He hit him, he hit us hard from day one. He said, every day, not just one day, not just some days, but every day. He said, that's Ebonics for every day. Every day. Here's the problem, though. Do y'all know we have a problem? Does anybody know we have a problem? We have problems. Here's the problem. This kind of worship, this lifestyle and all that, we think that that just happens here at the church. We think that when we wake up on Sunday morning and we get cleaned up and we shave and we put frou-frou water on and we put our nice clothes on and we come, then that we're holy now. And as soon as we leave here, we get out, we put our grungy clothes back on, and we get back in the world, and we're this just like everything else. We think that we can compartmentalize, but we can't. It doesn't just happen here at the church house. Let me ask you a question, because I've been running through some things in my mind this week at camp. What do you think? I mean, when I look at our sanctuary here, we've got some cool stuff. We've got a projector and a screen. What would y'all think if we just started having movie night here in the sanctuary? I pulled up Flixster on my iPhone and wrote down what's showing. There's a movie called Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter. That's showing. We can wait till it comes out. There's a show called Rock of Ages. That sounds scriptural, right? Rock of Ages. It's about does anybody know what I'm talking about, the Rock of Ages? It's about the 70s or 80s rock stars and all the drugs and sex and rock and roll and their lifestyle they lived. We could show that on the screen here. Magic Mike. I hear chuckles. Does anybody know what Magic Mike is? It's a movie about a male stripper. We could go back further and find striptease or burlesque. We could bring those in. We could show them here. We could serve drinks at the back. We could get a keg or something. We could set it up in the back. We could serve adult beverages. We could even start off the show with a Ron White video. Anybody know who Ron White is? A comedian? He's funny? Yeah? Every fourth word is a curse word, and he talks about stuff that you wouldn't talk about in front of you. If your mom and dad heard it, you'd be embarrassed. We could do further. We could start a gossip club. We could meet at the church, and we could have gossip clubs, right? We could meet here in the sanctuary. We could set up a little internet thing, and we could have a pornography party. What do y'all think about that? Some of you are about to run me out of town, but for even mentioning stuff like that inside this church. We could probably get a lot more people to come to church, though. But still, that you're saying, I'm shocked, I'm appalled. How dare you even think that? How dare you even speak that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As I was going through all this week, God began to break my heart. He began to speak to me. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes these words. Excuse me. Let me correct myself. The Holy Spirit told Paul to write these words. He said, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? He says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. All of your body. This passage tells us that our body is the church. Our body is the temple. You see, we don't bring that other junk into the church house, do we? No. I mean, you wouldn't catch... If we started bringing that stuff into the church house, I mean, y'all would find a different place to worship, because that's just not right, is it? But yet we don't think twice about taking the church, the temple, into that junk. We don't think twice about taking the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, into that place where that stuff is exposed, where that stuff is celebrated and enjoyed and all that stuff. What's the difference? Is this building sacred? Let me tell you something. What did Jesus say about the building when his disciples were looking at it? Said, oh, isn't that temple beautiful? Isn't that majestic? Isn't that nice? That's a holy place. What did Jesus say about that temple? Tear it down. I'll rebuild the real temple in 3 days. We get out in the world, just like Michelle was teaching us. She didn't know this, but I have an illustration too. Because illustrations are not only good for kids, they're good for us. Sometimes we think that we're like this jug of water here. This is our temple. This is our house. Like we have a heart that has rooms in it, and we can put certain things in some rooms. How many of you have a junk closet? Or a junk drawer where you just stash everything that doesn't belong somewhere? Yeah. And we close it, right? Nobody knows. And we think we can do that. The problem is that our heart, our soul, we're not like a house that has rooms and doors and drawers and cubby holes and secret compartments. We're more like that gymnasium out there. We're wide open, y'all. We're wide open. And so we come to church, and we're worshiping God, and we're just full of the Holy Spirit, and we're just, wow, my life is good. I'm on fire for God and all that. And then we go out somewhere else, and we begin to taint it. With just a little bit. Just a little bit of stuff here. And then we go somewhere else, and we taint it with just a little bit more. And we got floaties floating on top. We got dark, nasty stuff on the bottom. And somewhere in the middle, there's something that's kind of almost clear. It's more like translucent. You can see that it's different from everybody else, but I wouldn't want to drink it. Y'all don't even know what this is. Put a little bit more in there. And then before long, we find ourselves nasty. We find ourselves polluted. We find ourselves not a very pleasing offering to the Father. You see, we can't separate stuff. When we walk out of here and we go into a place that doesn't honor God, we go into a place and we view some things that we know that doesn't honor God, when we go into a place and we participate in some things that we know doesn't honor God, that's what we end up with. That's what Isaiah said. I am undone. I am a man of unclean. He said unclean lips, but he could have said, my life is unclean, and I live amongst the people that are unclean. Woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm that way, and yet God has allowed me to see his glory and his splendor. Oh, I am messed up. We say that we want to see the smoke, don't we? We want to see the smoke of Isaiah chapter 6. But we only want to see it here at the church. We want to come to church and see God smoke this place up with his Spirit. Woo! Have a holy party. But yet in our mind, we think, well, then we'll leave out of here and then we'll go take care of our other business. We'll do the other stuff that we want to do. And God says, you can't have both. You're going to get messed up and jacked up and dirtied up and look like that. And I know from personal experience, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long once we leave the gathering, and if we've been real and right before God, it doesn't take long before we get out there and we start to pick up some dirtiness, some taint, something that taints us, something that we gets in our desires and we just starts to pollute us, pollute our mind, pollute our soul. But God doesn't say, this is for the temple, this is for the church, this is for Dolan Baptist Church's structure. He says, no, I want to smoke your heart. I want to rattle the doorposts of your heart. But he won't until we do what Isaiah did. And until we recognize that the angels, when the seraphs, when they were there, they covered their faces. They covered their feet. They flew and they cried out, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Until we do that, don't expect to see smoke. Don't expect to feel God moving, shattering, rattling and shaking the doorposts of your heart. Don't expect to see it if we're not in a right position before God. Bringing everything to Him. Just like Isaiah did, even the good, the bad, and the ugly. When we find ourselves like this, because we get this way, all of us do. All of us do. When we get this way, we come to God and say, woe is me. I am undone. I am unclean. I live among people that are unclean. Woe is me. God reaches out with the blood of Jesus, touches us, it makes us pure and whole like we were in the beginning. When our experience with God is fresh, He cleanses us, He purifies us, and then we have only one thing to say. Here am I. Send me. Use me. I know, God, you didn't clean me up and straighten me up and purify me for me. You did it for you, so let me be a tool for you. Let me do what you want me to do. But you see, that's where some of us get a real big hang up. We want to be pure. We want to come. We want to be all nice and pretty, even on the inside. We really do. But yet, we don't want to do anything after that. We don't really want to respond. We just want to have our cake and eat it too. But God says you can't. God says you can't. Pick one. Pick one. Choose. It's where we are today. We have to choose. First of all, have we recognized like Isaiah did? Have we recognized that, oh, we're standing in the presence of an almighty God? We're sinners in the hands of an angry God. Do we understand the destruction that He holds in His hand that is coming? It's not a myth. The destruction is coming, y'all. He says, choose. Are you in this for you or are you in this for me? Choose. You going to kick back, enjoy your life, come on Sundays, kind of get a little bit of this and go on? Choose. You going to live for me? You going to live for you? Choose. You like this? Or you like the clean, pure water? Choose. You want to be forgiven? Or you just want to keep on trucking like you're going? Choose. You gonna serve me? You gonna serve yourself? Choose. You see, it's a choice. What's your choice? God may be telling you, you need to get right with me. I love you, God says. I will never stop loving you, but I hate some of the things that go on in your life. Maybe God's telling you, you need to straighten that up. You need to come to the altar. You need to confess that. What's your choice? Choose. Maybe God's telling you, you need to begin a relationship with me. It's not like we've got something great that we've had a long time ago. You never even started the relationship. Maybe God says, you need to choose. Me or the world? Heaven or hell? Which is it? I prepared the way. Choose. Whatever you are dealing with this morning, there's probably a choice involved. Am I even going to come back to this place? This place called Dolan Baptist Church. Am I even going to come back? You got to choose. Am I going to be involved with what goes on here? You got to choose. Am I going to live my life in a manner that honors and pleases God? Or am I going to enjoy myself? You got to choose. It's a choice. Make the choice. You see, if we don't choose, we have chosen. Did y'all know that? If you don't choose, then you actually are making the choice not to accept God, not to live according to His plan, not to please Him, not to live according to what His plan for your life is. You've chosen to do something different, and that's a choice that you've made if you choose not to choose. This verse, this song that we're about to sing, this song will wreck your world. I'm going to warn you before we sing this song. Because the chorus says this, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way with me. Do you realize what will happen if God hears that prayer and He answers that prayer? Lord, have your way with me. Do you realize what will happen if when God answers that prayer? Your world will be messed up. But yet, is there any other way to really live? It's a choice you have to make. Somebody needs to make a choice today. We're going to provide you an opportunity to make that choice. And not be ashamed to say, I am making a choice. And I'm choosing to be different. And I'm choosing to be better. I'm choosing to be real. I'm choosing to be genuine and authentic. And I don't care who sees it. Some of you need to make that choice today.